going to the hurry-up offense.
Hi and hello and happy holidays, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Damaschek football program, presented as always by McDonald's All Day Breakfast. Go get you some morning, noon, or night. It always fills your belly just right. I did it on Christmas Day. I got two Egg McMuffins.
Wow.
Studio 66 chock full of deep insight. I'm predicting it now. Patrick Claibon, Matt Harmon, Cynthia Freeland will say proper hellos in just a moment here. Let's jump right into it. It is the Andy Reid style hurry up. Who is the 2016 NFL MVP? Cynthia Freeland, I start with you.
The man in the middle, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Don't be sorry to me.
Everyone gets mad at me, but I would have a hard time saying how you could pick anyone else.
Well, the obvious pushback on that is that not only did he miss the first four games, one quarter of the season, which is a lot, obviously, but also they went 3-1 without him. I'm not saying that he is a system QB, as others have gone a little bit too far with that sort of talk, and he's had a great 11 games here, but, you know, valuable if we're evaluating. I mean, that's always comes down to that. Harmon, how say you?
I'm going to go with Matt Ryan.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, I think he's had a historically great season. He leads the NFL with 9.3 yards per attempt. I mean, he's been dynamic all year. It's a problem he just doesn't have like a signature like moment on primetime games like plenty of these other players do, but he's been just as good as any other quarterback, and he's dispersing it all throughout the offense as well.
Best passer rating, best completion percentage. I'm not like anti-Matt Ryan. Yeah.
Interesting point about that, because I often say that guys wind up in the Hall of Fame, forget MVP, they get a gold jacket for all of time because they rise up and make an iconic play in a big game. It's why Lynn Swann's in the Hall of Fame. You know, it's not that his career numbers require him to be there. It's that people, that those plays resonate for people in the Super Bowl.
And then we get David Tyree coming right in next to the Hall.
Yeah, he'll get it. He's getting one.
There's really no argument that I can make against Matt Ryan that would make a lot of sense. I'm holding true that I believe Dak Prescott is the MVP of the 2016 season. So valuable that you send Tony Romo out the pasture, and we're talking about Tony Romo going to the Cowboys. The dude is Jerry Jones' best friend, basically. They're hanging out, watching football together, playing Parcheesi, doing other things.
Parcheesi.
Yeah. Any other sort of game. Mahjong, if that's even how you pronounce it.
If it's true that, you know, we heard this for the entirety of Tony Romo, all the Romopologists, and as great as he was, he's a borderline Hall of Famer, and I say was, let's not use past tense. I assume he's going to be with somebody in 2017. We'll get to that in just a second. But everybody talks, the most pressure at any position in all of sports is quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. If that's true, well, a rookie just came in and handled it with great aplomb and the ultimate cool. I do think, though, practically, votes are going to get split there. That Dak and Zeke, neither will win because they're going to split each other's votes. I'd like to throw out Le'Veon Bell. I know if we're going to talk about Tom Brady, look at his don't give me that look, Harmon, just because I like the Steelers.
I'm not. I'm trying not to. Continue. Sorry.
The look is still happening.
Can you make a case against him aside from the three games that he missed?
I was about to say.
Just aside from the most pertinent case you could possibly make.
Yeah,
make
other than the most important case, yes. Let's throw that out.
Then let me turn to Freeland. If he can support Tom Brady, well, Le'Veon Bell was down for one fewer game.
I'm not anti-Lev Bell. I mean, okay. I definitely think the difference maker, he's a huge difference maker. He doesn't get hit behind the line of scrimmage because the guy is a monster. He keeps running and gives you positive downs and distances.
That's right. And a secret detail that a lot of people aren't talking about too much, Ben Roethlisberger has not had a great 2016.
What? Alert the news. I can't believe you said anything negative about the Steelers.
Oh, quiet.
Oh, here we go. No,
you do that to me, sister. I'm not going to play that game.
I get on Dave about the Steelers thing, but I will give him a lot of credit that he is pretty realistic with when things are not going well, even sometimes overly negative when things are going well. I would suggest Odell Beckham's is a more apt MVP candidate than Le'Veon Bell.
What?
Whoa.
I would say that, you know, the Giants are going to the playoffs. They look prime for their every 4 year little weird run to the Super Bowl. And think about that offense without Odell. They have nothing else going on.
Running game? Nope.
No running game. Eli Manning, you don't even need to alert that. I think everybody knows he's played poorly this year. Sterling Shepard's a nice little player, but, I mean, he's no Odell Beckham. And that, I've never seen an offense that just consistently relies on one player to do something insane in order to score points. I mean, the defense has kept them in games, but Odell has been the knife at the end of it.
The game breaker, right?
And I got to get the caveat in, because sometimes MVP discussion turns into what voters will vote for, and I need to say that before I say this.
Agreed.
But if Odell was nicer to the residents of Mount Pius, as you would say, Dave, then I think people would be saying the same thing Matt is. But because he's reacting to losing a football game, and we see that on social media.
How dare he care?
Then the Mount Pius takesmen, you know, the keyboards start cackling. Well, if only he were a better person, the Giants would win every game.
Well, see, only thing, though, is when it comes to that, wide receivers, they need someone to throw them the ball. Right. Whereas, like, Lev Bell, yes, he has a ton of receiving yards, but he doesn't need Ben Roethlisberger can have a worse year, and Lev Bell still have an insane year. Where Odell is limited in part by Eli Manning, no matter what you do. He's inherently limited.
It's true, but if we're just talking most valuable player,
right.
Which is why these awards are so nebulous.
What
do they even really mean? What does any of this mean? Beckham is, I think, way more valuable than Le'Veon Bell. You can throw D'Angelo Williams in there, and you can get reasonable production. We've seen that happen. If they didn't have Beckham, I think they'd be a sub-5.
I hear you on that, and I don't want to push back too much on the Le'Veon Bell factor, but I really do think they lose at least one more game, and ergo are not a playoff team.
Yeah,
or at
correct.
Least scratching to get in week 17. The other thing is, if we can put Tom Brady in the conversation and Bell in the conversation, Derek Carr has already been in the last couple of days. It's crazy. Everybody's just, he's out of contention now. He got hurt. I mean, doesn't it matter that he's carried this team? In fact, I think Derek Carr's candidacy has a chance to go up a bit as long as people don't cast their votes before week 17, because I think we're going to see the Raiders, especially against Denver, that's going to be fired up to take him down. If Matt McGloin puts up like 10 points or something like that, all of a sudden it will be like, oh yeah, Derek Carr was key in this Raider rise in 2016. Right. The other one is David Johnson, our pal Matt Money
Smith.
Oh
man, yeah.
Who deserves congratulations? He won a Shecky Award. Yep. He won the
sure does.
He won our favorite recurring in-house guest here with all three of you here. It's interesting. So I hate to invoke his name. However, mazel tov to him. But also, he says David Johnson deserves it, and it's not really even close for his season. I think that Zeke Elliott and Le'Veon Bell make it that, well, they were on better teams, and they had at least similar. I know that you can you can look at the numbers and
see, my only problem with David Johnson's numbers are the fact that they didn't do anything else. So they're kind of like, here you go.
Yeah.
Here you go, David Johnson. You do it again. You do everything. And again for the second year. So if they had a few more wins, I would be with that. But the problem is they had such a poor season that you're kind of like, yes, you're right. You were the only thing on this team that mattered, but you were also the only thing we tried.
Right.
Do we do that to satisfy the team argument that people make, though? Is that an adjustment that we make is in picking MVPs? Like, well, people are going to say that he didn't win enough games, so I'm going to have to change the way I feel about David Johnson. Because I catch myself doing
right.
that.
Yeah.
But really, as Harmon alluded to, I think we're trying to isolate who's the most valuable player.
The ship has sailed.
We don't really know what it means.
Yeah. It's year to year. It's person to person, and it's whatever case you want to take on in that given year. Well, value. What's his value versus who's the best? People will play fast and loose with
my
with
Tom Brady reasoning is in part the same reason. Like when you think of last year, everyone's like, "Well, Peyton Manning wasn't playing well, but you still had to prepare for Peyton Manning, even though he wasn't playing well." That's my case for Tom Brady. When you play the Pats, they're spending hours and hours and extra manpower hours just absolutely preparing for him in a way that they wouldn't do for anyone else.
Next question, just adjacent to what we're talking about here, Harmon, you say it's hard to figure out what it all means and everything. I think the MVP, it's strange to me.
Here we go.
I've said this before.
It's going to be good. I just know it's going to be good.
No, it's not good. I find this a fascinating thing, that the NFL is clearly the most popular sport in America, and yet you could all recite, I'm sure, the most recent or the last 10 Heisman winners more easily than you could the NFL MVP. Same goes for who's the NBA MVP. It's strange. I suspect, my hypothesis is, that it has to do with how cool the trophy is and who it's named after. The Stanley Cup is the best trophy.
Totally.
The Heisman Trophy is second. Everybody, even if you don't
care
about college.
They have a whole house for that Heisman Trophy.
Well, if you don't know what – right. If you don't care about college football at all, I'm certain that if you're listening to me right now, you could strike the Heisman pose for me. NFL MVP, it has no name. It has no cachet. It has no look. What does it look like? You have no idea. I'm
fun,
sure.
Fun MVP fact. Terrell Davis, who we do Game Day Live with every Sunday.
Name drop.
He, well, yeah.
He's also like, a coworker.
Something cool.
Coworker name drop.
So I drop a name, whatever. He's a cool guy. He just got his MVP trophy.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Isn't that like 10 years overdue?
He had to order it so he could have some tangible. Otherwise, it was just like Terrell Davis wins the NFL
10
MVP.
Years, 20 years, man.
Well, I don't have any.
He needs to get a gold jacket already. I'm tired
Fact.
Of the weight on this one. And that's not because I work with him. He was the best running back in an era that included Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders,
Preach.
Jerome Bettis, Curtis Martin, all those guys. And yet somehow he's. Well, not somehow. It's because he got hurt. But so what? He was dominant for the stretch he was around. It's not like he had one good season. He had multiple. All right. The question is, though, here's how we remedy what I'm talking about here. Let's give it a little cachet. Let's name it after one of the great icons in pro football history. Who should it be and what would the pose be? Matt Harmon, go.
I think it should be the Madden Award. He's not a player. He's
interesting.
He's more well-known as a coach.
That's outside the box, and
but
I like it.
He's already a name-brand guy. You know, you can loop in the younger generation that way because, you know, he's got a video game and all that business. Plus, it's just, you know, Madden's a good-sounding name. I don't know what the pose would be. Like, maybe just a jovial person.
I like it, but already – I like the idea, but now that I'm thinking it through for a couple seconds – it can't be. It's got to be a player, right?
I didn't prepare for this question.
A player or a coach?
We're saying it has to be a player because I was going to go.
You can go whatever you want
and call it the Sable Trophy.
Ooh,
that's a good one
because I think about the way that we consume and appreciate football, and to me, that all ties in to the Sable family.
Talk about a valuable person to our industry.
There you go.
And so that's journalistic bias. On that, but
the Roselle Award. I mean, he really was a major player in getting the NFL to what it is and making that merger.
But
that
if
was
we're,
nice thought.
I would also try to zero in on who the NFL MVP is and try to name the award after.
You guys
that.
Are going outside
I was
the box.
Like Bart Starr, and that's a great name.
First Super Bowl champ,
and it was like, and his over. Like, and he's. He's rad, and, like, it's a great name. It seems to work all around.
I love this. See, these are three answers I would not have expected.
That's a very safe pick.
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to win star in 2017.
The star.
I think that works.
Right.
That works.
The star
Just make
award.
It a star.
I'm telling you, I think it's a good one.
This might be the best answer yet.
I
did ask some high profile.
He was so cute in that little cart when he came out. He's
Bartlett behind the glass there. I asked this to some high profile NFLers at NFL Honors a while back. Do we have some video of that, did you say? Or we had their answers of who they thought would be the trophy. I mean, I'm thinking more recent, but, you know, here's the issue. There's already something called the Montana Award. There's already Walter Payton already has an award. Here's the Payton Trophy. See, he's commanding things. That's not an especially impressive one.
That's pretty boring.
Tom Brady is an option there. Reggie White would be a great one, I think. That would, you know, he's one of the great legends of the game. Montana throwing the ball. Jerry Rice, a lot of people say he's the best of all time. Why not give
like
him
the
award
Moss.
After?
Randy Moss needs somebody else on his trophy.
Right, agreed.
Catching the ball.
Agreed.
The Jim Brown Award would be nice. People hail him as the greatest running back of all time. A lot of current players vote for Ray Lewis in the midst of his dance there. Le'Veon Bell, I recall, voted for Barry Sanders.
And that makes you like Le'Veon Bell even more.
His description was the best. He said he's got to be giving somebody the
What is Walter Payton jumping over?
There's an undead creature trying to reach up and grab Walter Payton.
I'm saying it here, and I'm saying it now. Okay. I want this to be – it's not – as well, I mean, all right, I'm vain.
About this
I'm vain, and I want some legacy. My legacy will be starting this fire. I want this award named, and when it is presented and they pull off – you're leaving?
Meeting, they get all mad
right.
at me. I'll be
oh,
right back.
Time
I'll be right
for
back.
The meeting.
That's a power move for you viewers at home. Yep. Just walk up in the middle of the show and get out.
All right, I mentioned it here. We'll see Freeland in just a bit here. What kind of prima donna shows up, does 4 minutes a show, and then walks out?
That's how you show your authority.
I would never. An omelet. I'll be back in a while, Dave, or maybe I won't be.
Let me tell you, I did do that in the middle of our Fantasy Live podcast. I said I got to go to a meeting and left and felt pretty good.
About 2-3 weeks ago, Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew, and I were having a conversation, and I got up and I went and made water. And I said, just keep on spinning. I'll be back. And they carried the show for what it took for me to make my water, and then I came back.
Interesting.
Like a glass?
I don't think that's what he means.
I made my own water.
Like you?
Nature's water.
Created it?
I created it, yes.
Caught rainwater. Caught rainwater and then evaporated it and then bring it back.
Is it really that hard to figure out?
No, I just want
it. It's just for the show.
All right. Where will Tony Romo, as you brought up there, where will Tony Romo be playing in 2017? Claybon, I start with you.
Why not? He'll be playing in Denver.
Why not? Well, listen, first of all, if you're watching us, we appreciate the listeners on iTunes. Thanks for that. And if you're watching it on NFL.com/DDFP, you are seeing right here him in all the uniforms that kind of make sense. At least you could make a case. I think the Arizona Cardinals would be a fun fit there. I know that practically they don't have the greatest offensive line, but still, that would be a fun one. If you dropped him into that as bad as Carson Palmer was with David Johnson, I don't know if Fitzgerald's coming back, although I think if he heard Romo was coming, that would incent him to maybe try in 2017. Bills, I don't love. Bears, you know, he's from that neck of the woods.
It's true. Homecoming.
He's brittle, though, and would the cold suit him? But I'll tell you, if they can bring Alshon Jeffrey back and Kevin White, the offensive line is very good. I like him in Chicago.
They're not bringing back Alshon.
Alshon is out.
Alshon is out that door.
All right, so they have Kevin White, and they get him another pass guy.
Yeah, Cameron Meredith, man, that guy's good.
Let me tell you my favorite one, the Houston Texans.
That's my favorite, too.
I like the narrative there. I know people like splashy Gotham and, you know, put him on the Jets or put him in L.A. or something like that. But imagine he stays in the state of Texas and then makes Dallas pay by tormenting them from not nearby Houston. But either way, he has DeAndre Hopkins. He has those young pass catchers, Lamar Miller behind him, a great defense, J.J. Watt coming back. I dare say they would be one of the top two or three favorites in the AFC going into 2017 if they had Tony Romo under center. How say you, Armin?
That is my favorite option, and I kind of hope it does happen just because I feel a little bit bad for Bill O'Brien. Not too bad because some of it's his own fault, but I think he's a really good coach, and he's just constantly chasing his tail with the quarterback thing. I think this could at least be a nice stopgap option. So I'm with you. That's my favorite option. Let me tell you the two I don't think are going to happen. I don't think it's Denver because I don't think the quarterback position has been that big of a problem for them this year. It's that their running game and offensive line have fallen apart. And I don't think that's a conducive environment to stick Tony Romo in and think you're going to get better play than you really got from Trevor Siemian at times, especially with his durability issues. And also Arizona Cardinals. I don't know if this is a hot take. You guys can – I'll let you be the expert on that. I think I'd rather have Carson Palmer right now than Tony Romo.
Whoa.
That's not hot.
I think it is. Carson Palmer was dreadful this year.
I don't think he's been that bad. We're just watching some of the game film and everything. I think he's been better than he's been given credit for. But again, you know, the protection has fallen apart, and he certainly can't, like, move in the pocket like he used to, and especially during some of his peak years and even last year. But, you know, I think that if they upgrade – the offensive line, they get better protection. He has a stud running back. I think Palmer can have a bounce back year somewhat next year.
I also think it's fair to bring up the fact that a year removed from John Elway, given, you know, all the other GMs out there are playing checkers and Elway's playing chess. He gets it. And forget last year, for you know, when they're 5-0, people were saying that. See, Elway, he's the Hall of Fame QB, and he gets it. You don't have to reach to get a quarterback and everything else. Now they're on the outside looking in here, and a lot of it has to do with him. People have talked about Jared Goff and a bunch. Dak Prescott. How did everybody miss on him? Well, John Elway missed on him. He went for Paxton Lynch. Mm. And that, right, I'm not saying it's a bust at this point.
Cowboys kind of missed on him, too. They wanted to trade up for Paxton Lynch, and they said they were bummed about not doing that.
I mean, Siemian and Paxton Lynch equal. I mean, they're fine, but are those
But is Tony Romo? I mean, here's the question.
I'm not making a case against that. I'm just pointing out that Paxton Lynch, if he were a real difference maker, maybe would have made a difference this year.
You're right. I just wonder if Romo is a difference maker anymore.
Yeah, it's been. I mean, we're coming up on basically 2 years,
right,
since Tony has played, and you guys both mentioned Houston. Does Tony want to play for Bill O'Brien?
That's a good point.
In the way that they play, at some point with Bill O'Brien, you have to ask yourself, is it me? You know,
that's a fair point.
You see, guys like Brian Hoyer, which is a joke, the early season Brian Hoyer statistical success stuff. But It seems like guys are doing a lot better once they leave Houston.
I think it's an underrated or an undercovered thing that the AFC South was ruled by Andrew Luck and before that Peyton Manning, and very quietly, and it's not Bill O'Brien alone who's done that, but you know, the Texans keep on winning that division. It's a bum division, and they don't make any hay once they get to January. But if you put a high-end QB, if Romo counts as that, I think they could, like I say, they could be a real favorite in 2017. All right, with all that being said, let's start the show! Yes. Again, hi and hello, and welcome to the DDFP, presented by McDonald's All Day Breakfast.
Delicious.
It is delicious, you know. Go get one of them hash browns with its own little paper sleeping bag. That's the extra key. That's the detail.
Get yourself a sleeping bag afterwards, too.
You want to go next level, put some of the jelly in the sleeping bag so you don't have to scrape. You can just dunk.
Whoa.
Into the sleeping.
You don't put jelly on a hash brown, friend.
You do? Yeah, you I've never personally done that.
I've never
either.
Heard of this idea. Yeah. I don't like this idea.
The idea of jelly and potatoes is...
No. Or you can go ahead and put the hash brown on the Egg McMuffin.
All right, now we're
talking.
Now we're cooking with gas.
Then you have some jelly on that.
No, so...
What is it with the jelly?
Fruit doesn't mix with other food in my book. In Damashek's mouth, that doesn't work.
Right.
I like a nice, obviously. Although, go back and listen to the Shecky Awards. I thought it was a powerful message delivered by this year's Fruit of the Year. The Shecky Award winner in 2016 for the fruit. Bartlett doesn't want me to give it away there. He's the ultimate showman. We're going to play it back here? All right, let's take a look back here real quick, and I'll remind you, you can watch the 21st Annual Shecky Awards at NFL.com/DDFP, or listen to them on iTunes. Either way, here's a quick flashback to the announcement of the granddaddy of all categories, Fruit of the Year. In the meantime, the 2016 Fruit of the Year. Here we go. It's the red seedless grape. They combined. I want to pull back the curtain. I had some qualms about this, moral or ethical or whatever you would call it. Yeah, well, here was my point about it. See, now Tim DeMarco weighs in on Twitter.
Yeah,
he says he said Damashek embarrassed himself. It was hard to listen to. The fruit of the year is the cantaloupe, rising from the ashes just a few short years ago. Look, I like a cantaloupe. I'm not a good for you orange fruit. It's nice. However, I'm not here to denigrate cantaloupe. I almost went down the rabbit hole pointing out it. I'm not about that. This is a time of celebration.
It's a great breakfast fruit.
The message that I feel like, you know, in a rough 2016, this has been grim in a lot of ways, but I think the message that the red seedless grape delivers is this. If I said, what do you want? Do you want a watermelon or do you want a grape? You're going to take the watermelon because, you know, just sheer size, you know.
Right.
A grape by itself, meaningless, but together, do you see what it can achieve?
That's a good point.
Great. It achieves wine, and it's just delicious on it. Give me a bucket of them. I'll sit there and I'll finish off the whole vine.
You had me at booze. You had me at
booze. I mean, but do you see? That's a message. Together, we see what we can be.
We can be
grapes.
That, the fruit of the year.
The fruit of the year.
You leave a grape out in the sun, it transforms into a raisin. It's versatile.
What? I didn't even think about
it
that.
It can do so much.
You leave a piece of cantaloupe out in the sun.
Yeah, what do you get?
It can't
a
be
mess.
Killed. It can't be killed. Mm. Right.
True.
Good for you, grapes. Wow. I'm happy for you right now.
I feel much better about the whole fruit of the year thing.
Yeah, and it was a dark year for fruit. And I was the first to cast aspersions. It gave me no pleasure to denigrate the apple. I mean, the Honeycrisp. Nobody's touted the Big Apple more than Damashek has. I mean, I love it. I love a pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
tragic year for orange. I thought that, you know, I've loved orange my whole life, but 2016 has changed a lot of that.
I don't know what the white peach thinks. Well, you know what the Honeycrisp did this year? I felt like it kind of turned into Johnny Depp in this way.
Interesting.
Yeah, fine. Once you get into it, it still tasted fine. But, you know, Johnny Depp does this bit that thumbs his nose at all the other fellas in the world, which is, I am going to look as awful. I'm not going to try at all. I'm just going to roll out. I'm going to make myself ridiculous. and women are still going to love me more than they love you. I feel like the Honeycrisp was playing that same game. A lot of weird abrasions, you know. You get the hard to get a nice, clean, shiny one at this point. And a lot of them, you know what? Go ahead. You want to be Johnny Depp? You want to play cool? A Honeycrisp, guess what? What have you done for me lately? That's what the fruit of the year is about.
That's
All right, let's move on.
Good point.
Well, thank you. Go ahead, Bartlett. What's next here? We want to revisit some other things here.
Yeah, here's some tweet about best condiment.
I don't understand why you're always surprised when I speak to you, Bartlett. You're always like, well, he's talking in here. What? I mean, is it that surprising to you?
Very surprising.
Best condiment, Art Vandelay drops a line. He says, you criticize a Texan for not knowing a Chicago condiment, which is jardinera, of course, but you don't know this condiment. Future 2017 Shecky winner, Art Vandelay, I say to you, okay, I'm open to trying it. Send it on over.
Spicy ketchup?
NFL Media, drop a line to Damashek, and I will certainly be more than happy to try your Whataburger spicy ketchup. You know, that's always a volatile category, the condiment. You don't know what's coming.
Well, people are very loyal to their particular brand of fast foods.
What's condiment. Your number one? I like, you know what, I'm back on Frank's Red Hot. I like, that's
really
delicious to me, yeah.
If you're going hot sauce, I think you got to go Cholula without
I like
question.
Cholula too.
Versatile for breakfast and for other things.
Well said.
All right.
I was going to have more to say. And I just like, well, I wanted to say dinner, but then I'm leaving out lunch. Yeah. So I just, and yeah. Or appetizers. So I went other things.
Yeah. Last one. There's a tweet here on the Jenga Piece Award. I think I kind of failed on this one. Handsome Hank throws this one out at us. He says, Gronk was the NFL Jenga piece. Of course, the Jenga theory is that in the 21st century, all NFL teams are going to lose players. However, the real concern is if you remove the wrong one, the whole thing implodes. I feel like the Patriots are in trouble without Gronk. Handsome sends along some numbers, though, that intrigue, that say that the Patriots offense keeps on humming without Rob Gronkowski. I feel like the Seahawks have shown that maybe Earl Thomas is their Jenga piece because they have.
He doesn't respect you.
There's Handsome Hank.
It's leveling that at me too. I remember that.
But yeah, is Earl Thomas now? As now we see the almost the full body of the season. Did I air there with Earl Thomas? Not making Earl Thomas the key Jenga piece.
Yeah, it's especially when it's a guy that was never actually a Jenga piece because he was never missing, and so he's almost like just purely the foundation, if you will. Like you're playing Jenga on a three-legged table now because Earl Thomas isn't there. And it's like we've from the same stat packet that Hank got those numbers. You know, we look at the Seahawks numbers without Earl Thomas, and it's a huge difference. And they were missing Cam Chancellor, but they were able to stay afloat for a little while. But it's so
all those all stars at all the positions at all three levels, but Earl Thomas seems to be the one that it proves they can't do without. I guess we'll see come January.
Those like field general safeties, I think, are really big, important pieces, not only because they cover a lot of ground, because they get everybody else lined up too. Yeah. Here's, and in that vein, I want to put this guy on your radar as a Jenga piece, Harrison Smith for the Vikings.
Ooh.
24.7 passer rating on deep passes allowed this year with Harrison Smith on the field before last week. And then in games without him, 130.8 passer rating allowed on deep passes. That's a stark difference. So that's a guy that maybe needs to get on your radar as a Jenga.
Well, another one that's under the radar too is I cited in front of the classic edition of the Ravens and Steelers, Jimmy Smith. Oddly, when he is not in there for the Ravens, that defense looks quite a bit different and not nearly as good. All right, let's get to Football Baby real quick here. As always, as we round out the regular season and move into the playoffs, make sure you take Football Baby with you to your next visit to a stadium. Go to @Damashek. I have pinned at the top of my account on Twitter a picture of Football Baby. Either hold up your cell phone or print out the PDF and take him along with you. His passport chock full. It's not just pro football anymore. He went to CFL games. He went to NCAA football games, soccer games.
Oh, he went to Millwall.
Rugby. Right. He went to some dart championships in England. He's been all over the place. Take him along. Send us a picture. We appreciate that. And with that, oh, and by the way, Football Baby and Football Baby Girl both predicted that the Steelers would beat the Ravens. They were both correct there. Both are doing well as we head into the postseason, but there is still the Week 17 to contend with. Let's get to, before we make our Red Challenge flag picks for Week 17, who are we loving going into Week 17? I'll start with you, Matt Harmon.
I am loving the Kansas City Chiefs, not only because I expect them to win this week, spoiler alert, and for them to increase their playoff chances. I love them to make a run in the postseason. I think they are one of the only teams that can challenge the Patriots in the AFC. Because if you know, we think of the Chiefs as this boring little methodical offense, and you know, they have rather uninspiring quarterback upside play and Alex Smith there. But
well, is there now is there a controversy between Alex Smith and Dontari Poe?
That is a good question, because that was by far one of my five favorite moments of the season.
How dare you enjoy that? God. You're not allowed to enjoy a fat man throwing a touchdown.
Was there anything?
How dare you?
Was there anything more tone deaf than people complaining about that on Twitter afterwards? But anyways,
offended on behalf of a pro football team. That's right. I mean, that's what you're doing,
people. It's ridiculous.
When you tweet, oh, how dare you? That's disrespectful. All right, the millionaires on the Denver Broncos will be able to deal with it.
Yeah, they'll be all right. We don't even need to go any farther into that, but I think the Chiefs have.
We could. Those people suck.
They are pretty terrible, and we could spend a lot of time.
Unfollow those people.
Justly saying that they are terrible, but Travis Kelce having a dominant season right now. Tyreek Hill, I think, has brought another element to their offense that they did not have, an explosive element. And I mean, they have playmakers on offense. Spencer Ware is a good running back, too, and I think this team is primed to put other teams on their game script, and they're primed to win those games in the AFC playoffs. I bet they're the number two seed by the time we're talking next week.
The big factor seems to be Justin Houston. Doesn't look like he's going to play. We don't know for sure, but I'm guessing he's not going to play in Week 17, but his availability in January is much more important. If he's right, and D Ford, and they can start heating up the QBs, and their secondary is very good. They have two good corners now there. Like you say, to me, we talked MVP earlier. I think the AFC X factor in January is Tyreek Hill. This notion that people sort of etch their things into concrete in September about what is and what isn't in pro football, and it ignores the evolution within the season of teams. A lot of young guys get better as the season goes along. It's not like, well, he didn't have a good first 2 weeks as a rookie, so throw him out. Tyreek Hill is a guy who, I mean, they can't, Andy Reid and Alex Smith, they can't shoot it out with the Patriots or Steelers or Raiders or something. Yeah, they can. With Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Spencer Ware, Jeremy Maclin now back. And their defense is very good. I'm with you.
They shot it out with the Colts they didn't win that game, but Alex Smith went ham in that contest. And I think I wonder if it's just a mentality thing, like, and when the back's against the wall and it's a one and done game, I think he can come out of that shell. I think he can.
Claybon.
My loving this week comes with a sincere apology to Matt's MVP pick in Matt Ryan. I hate to be somber here, but I look back to the start of the season, and I didn't know what the future was for Matt Ryan. I thought, maybe.
You sound like you might get choked up about it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And that was stupid. That was a dumb take, and I hate dumb takes.
Don't beat yourself up too much about it.
Spick-freaking-tacular, and he's been very good, and I believe he's going to continue that streak of being good against the Saints, and wrap up a nice season and head to the playoffs and hopefully have some postseason success.
Two things I'd like to throw in on that. One, like the late, great Jerry Orbach, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong, and I was wrong about Matt Ryan this year. In fact, I said by season's end, Matt Ryan will rank as the fourth best quarterback in the NFC South. For what it's worth, I wasn't wrong about the other three quarterbacks. I mean, Cam Newton, all right, he fell back a little bit. Okay, so that's one. But Jameis did, in fact, progress, and Drew Brees had a typical Drew Brees season, but Matt Ryan exceeded my expectations. Speaking of Drew Brees, are we picking that game in a minute? No, we're not, so I'm going to say it here and now. I think the Saints are going to beat the Falcons this week.
You think so?
I do. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to go in there with a devil may care attitude, arch rival. They'll take them down. They'll go into the offseason feeling a little bit better about themselves. I am loving Steve Smith. I loved the latest edition, the latest installment of the 21st century's best NFL rivalry, perhaps the best rivalry in all of sport right now, the Ravens and Steelers. The expectations about what it is and all the platitudes about these two, two teams, they play the same kind of thing. Like, I don't think you're really paying attention to what's going on if you think these are two dominant defenses who are going to slug it out at this point. But it was a great game. It's hard to argue in both sides. I think as Ravens fans get away from the game and the pain of missing the playoffs, but I mean, it had the stakes couldn't be higher. It was
fourth quarter was incredible.
It was winner take all, and everybody was saying if the Ravens lose this game, then they're out. Well, that same thing was true for the Steelers practically. You know, that was more or less the case there, and you sense that in both teams. And Roethlisberger was crummy through a couple of terrible picks there, and the Ravens were great. And above it all, two things about the Ravens. One, Joe Flacco, I say it every year. I say it about 278 times, in fact. Joe Flacco nails and Hines, no matter how mediocre he is the rest of the game, the rest of the season. When the game is on the line, he will put together a potential game-winning drive, and he did it again, and that was amidst those guys dropping passes. Save Steve Smith. Nails. Talk about – he knows he's playing his last game of – potentially his last game of importance. Man, he was the best Raven on the field, or at least offensively. Kenneth Dixon, very good, though, too. Mm. Steve Smith, beyond all that, a wonderful guy. I'm glad that people are starting to acknowledge on national broadcasts. The thing about him is – this family guy. I mean, all he talks about is his kids. When it's not football, all he talks about is how he wants to be with his kids and he wants to be with his wife. Super nice fella, and yet when he gets on there, he is nasty. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Mazel tov to him. Also, you know what? A sincere shout out too. I saw that I mentioned Cam Newton, and that reminded me. Did you see the video of him going to see the kid in the hospital?
Yeah.
I mean, that is just to me. I love guys who do it, but. I mean, the guts it takes to go with really sick kids like that, to go into a hospital. People make their jokes about J.J. Watt and Russell Wilson and those guys. I really don't make fun of those guys for whatever other self-promotional kind of stuff or other zaniness. They go into Russell Wilson the day after or 2 days after maybe he throws that interception. They could have been a two-time champ, everything else. Right back to Seattle's Children's Hospital to be with those kids, as his weekly appointment with those kids wasn't going to be skipped just because he was bummed out about throwing a pick. J.J. Watt in there, to all those guys who do that. That ain't easy stuff.
If only we held other people in society and ourselves to the same standards that we hold NFL quarterbacks to.
Indeed.
Yeah.
If only.
Yeah, but now back to complaining about Dontari Poe throwing a touchdown pass. How dare he? He seemed to really enjoy that, and so did the stadium and the team. Everybody enjoyed it. How shame on you.
Well, this is – I mean, football is not a place for entertainment. It's a place for moral lessons, and if we don't teach those during football games – when will we?
Yeah, and you know what? While we're talking about it, shame on you, Odell Beckham, for when your team loses, being upset about that. How dare you care?
We certainly must report it.
And this is why it's important. Those people who say things like that, they shouldn't have an audience. Like, it's fun for us to get mad at them, and, I do it too. But just wait for somebody else to retweet them or take a screenshot of their awful tweet. Just don't indulge
them. Put it out there.
Yeah. Well, let somebody else get
I know. And you know what? Now that we're jumping in, and just off of talking about the Steelers for a second there.
You're
Terry
still
Bradshaw.
Talking about the Steelers.
For the last 20 Freeland. Minutes.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, welcome back, by the way.
Listen, as I was leaving, I heard what you guys were saying.
Then at the start of the third quarter, when Roethlisberger got – no, anyway, go ahead.
All I was saying, when I was walking out, I heard you call me some sort of diva. Mm-hmm. Prima donna. And I would like to point out that if I were a prima donna, I wouldn't have to go to the meeting because they wouldn't make me. So I am the opposite of a prima donna. I am a peon.
I don't know if I agree.
I was going to say about the Terry Bradshaw thing. why do these old timers have to weigh in? It's all it really is like a parody of themselves. This like back in my day, like what do you have to weigh in on Mike Tomlin not being a good coach for? But I did love Mike Tomlin's dig back at him, summoning Hollywood Henderson, who tormented number 12 way back when.
I like it because it's important for me to look back at people and say, well, maybe they suck.
Yeah. Well, you know
maybe
what?
Terry Bradshaw sucked the whole time.
This isn't the first one. He did bring four rings to the banks of the Three Rivers, but you know what? I have to be – I got to do it. You know what? Terry Bradshaw, for talking bad about Mike Tomlin in front of the biggest game of the season, nay, in several seasons. Terry Bradshaw, you're a jerk!
Yes!
Takes the blaster. Don't you talk like that. This is a way to be. What would bad mouthing the Steelers all the time, Terry Bradshaw.
But do you think it's one of those things maybe he was like a little hungry and like they hadn't given him a snack and he was like angry? And you know, you just say things and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't actually meet that.
What is he?
He's hangry.
That commercial guy?
Right, maybe.
I think the most likely theory is he's been tightrope walking this line of not letting people know he sucks.
Chuck, no hurt my feelings. Chuck, no hurt my feelings 40 years ago, and I can't let it go. Like, hey, Terry, whatever Chuck Noll did to you, seems like it worked out pretty good for you.
Yeah.
Right. You won four Super Bowls, and now you're a multimillionaire for flapping your gums.
You walked naked around in that one movie. What was it? With Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew McConaughey?
Oh, yeah. I never saw that one. Float. Hope Floats?
Oh, different one. That one's Sandra Bullock.
I don't know,
but it was Failure to Launch.
Oh, God.
Of all the movies I can never get references, how is
horrible,
that the one?
Horrible movie.
Cannonball Run.
I saw it with a girlfriend.
And Hooper with Terry Bradshaw.
That's my excuse.
You know what? If I go watch Cannonball Run with Terry Bradshaw, he'll work his way back into my heart. I can't stay mad at you. All right, let's get
you
to
try.
It. It's time for the red – oh, wait, before we do the red challenge flag, wait a second. You started to tell a tale, Cynthia Freeland, just before we started here. What happened to you this morning?
So I was getting into my car, and I had all my stuff and whatever, and that you can go left or you can go right when you come out of my apartment. And on the wall, smack dab in the middle, was a cat who happened to be wearing a T-shirt and one of those cones, like a lampshade, like backwards. Like,
I've never seen a cat wear a T-shirt outside of a cartoon cat.
I promise you, the cat was wearing a T-shirt. My roommate has confirmed it. I tried to get her to take a picture, but she left too.
What color was the T-shirt?
The T-shirt was gray. The T-shirt was gray.
It'd be funny if it was like a bulldog
so,
T-shirt or something.
Right. Well, I was assuming that something's wrong with the cat, because why would the cat be wearing a T-shirt? And it's obviously cared for if someone get the cone in the T-shirt.
The cone thing, right.
So I was thinking maybe like the cat like had some sort of scrape or cut and maybe was on cat drugs.
Is that considerate to put a T-shirt on your cat? That's an issue for another time. I don't know, but all right, go ahead.
And maybe the cat was on cat drugs and, you know, because the cut, whatever it was on it, and I was very scared of it. Mm. It started meowing incessantly at me. Meow, 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 meow. Like all these meows. And I was like, I'm just going to go that way. And so instead of going left where my car was closer, I went to the right. And the cat followed me and started picking up the pace, and I could hear the lampshade, and I started running, and I had to run across around the block because the cat was chasing me all the way to my car.
Oh, you were stalked and nearly assaulted by a feline.
A cat.
By a disabled feline wearing a T-shirt.
In a T-shirt. I love this tale. There's so many.
You think that cat was high on cat cane?
I thought that the cat.
Look at Harmon holds his look with a smile on his face, hoping others
will join
him.
You're going to be such a good dad someday.
I might have gotten help from a dad on that one, but perfect. I'm not going to reveal any.
No, but there was like, I'm like, maybe the cat took like, maybe he ate catnip and then he's been taking cat drugs, and like, I didn't know.
A T-shirt wearing
a T-shirt
coned cat, but also
I tried to get her to take a picture. She saw the cat too.
I also like to keep my ears open to hear sentences that have never been issued in the history of man, and I think that I could hear the lampshade has never probably been said. I could hear the lampshade.
That is probably the first time.
Unless somebody was on recreational cat cane.
Unless they were being chased by a cat in a T-shirt and a cone, and you could hear the lampshade cone.
You know how Eric Berry he's afraid of horses and has to play the Broncos twice a year and sometimes the Colts.
So like, nay.
I'm just looking at the red challenge flag picks we're about to make.
Perfect.
Fortunately, no cats involved here. Oh, there is one coming up. Let's get to it. The red challenge flag picks.
Red challenge flag picks.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to get the flags out.
Yeah, get the flags.
That's my job.
Let's get them here. Week 17. This is annually one of the toughest weeks to call the games in, because you don't know how inspired these teams that are playing for nothing and all that sort of stuff. Let's start it off. Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, Cynthia Freeland. Choose.
Dallas.
Dallas Cowboys. Anyone want to throw the flag here? Eagles show up. City of brotherly love. They want to stick it to the best team in football. Everyone's going to eat it. Claybon, explain yourself. Why are the Cowboys the winner here?
Because I saw the Cowboys play the Lions in a game that they needed to win, and they run roughshod just right over them. And I saw Philadelphia against the Giants. I was impressed. I was surprised, but I wasn't that impressed or that surprised to
All right. How I feel. I feel like, you know, I don't know. I feel like Carson Wentz, this is the time of the year where the rook comes out and has a nice game. Now there's zero pressure on him. Now he'll feel good and, going into the long offseason.
It's a nice spot for a Dak chip on the shoulder game against the anointed rookie quarterback of the 2016 season.
I am old enough to remember when Carson Wentz was good.
Yeah.
I think, you know, as far as the Dak thing goes, I know everybody has weighed in on the Romo v. Dak thing, but to me, it makes sense. Here's my thought. You should play Tony Romo. He hasn't taken a meaningful snap in a year now or more. Throw him, get him loose. He's an old man. And in case Jason Garrett and other people have forgotten, people get hurt playing pro football sometimes. Dak Prescott is not immune to that fact. So don't you want your backup QB kind of ready to go if you call on him? I also, though, understand the other side of that, though. What if you put Romo in and he looks grand? Now you have people buzzing, and that's a distraction going on.
I don't know if that's the thing, but as you said, people get hurt playing pro football, and somebody that's gotten hurt plenty is Tony Romo. And I think they're actually more worried about their back, which is weird. They're more worried about their backup quarterback getting hurt than their starting quarterback. I think we probably see Mark Sanchez in this game before we see Tony Romo.
I'm hearing that noise, which I think
is
crazy.
But it is a revenge. It is a revenge game for Mark
Sanchez.
Do you
want to know a prediction that I have about Dak Prescott for next year? I think he's going to come back with veneers. I can see it. You know, like your teeth veneers?
You know what?
I think he's getting veneers. That big smile.
Funny you say that. Back, I sat with next week. The lookout for this. Really excited about this. We already did it. Sat down and shot this yesterday. Ike Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew once went head-to-head in a NFL playoff game in 2007.
Shush.
Jags at Steelers. 2007 was the wild card round matchup there. We watched highlights of that game. We sat down, watched most of the game there and kibitzed about it, and they, as you would predict, had great stories about that. Anyway, I did the same thing once with Terrell Davis. You can find that now if you Google it, Terrell Davis, Damashek, whatever. You'll find us watching Super Bowl 32, a game he had never gone back and watched, by the way, which is crazy to me. He said, "Oh, I've never watched this game. You were the MVP of this Super Bowl and you never watched it?" That is a big difference between you and me, Terrell Davis. I would have it running on a loop in my home.
Yeah, right.
But also, he had braces and so did Brett Favre. So the two biggest figures in Super Bowl 32 both had braces. And I said, "What gives with the braces? It's too late once you're in the NFL to get the braces." I wanted to have a nice smile. I wanted to look how nice my teeth are.
That was before veneers got real popular. And now veneers are like everywhere. So now it's gonna be veneers.
What are veneers?
They're I'll show you pictures of it. It's like when they put those like fake teeth on the front of your teeth.
It's like a grill, except it's teeth.
I'm not as much of a celebrity as you two are. I don't know.
I had braces for 9 years.
I had braces for a long time. And
9 years.
9 years.
That's a really long time.
How haggly were your teeth?
Dave, it was like rocks in there. It was awful.
Yikes.
I'll show you veneer. Once you see it, you won't be able to think Rex Ryan's smile. Oh, that's okay. All veneers. Why do you say that tastes like
is
that?
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. Sorry for blowing.
I was going to say, we should have gotten a close-up of that.
I had such an iconic view of Rex Ryan's smile before I knew.
Side note for 2017, I'd like Matt Harmon to get
veneers.
A grill. No, a grill.
A grill.
Oh, a grill.
Ooh, well. 2017, it's time for my New Year's resolution for society. I'll give you that on our next show. Right now, though, let's deal with the Giants, the Skins. The Skins are in with a victory. Harmon. Juice.
I'm going Washington here.
Ooh, not as easy as you would think.
To copy.
Freeland, what do you think? Oh, is anybody going to throw the challenge flag?
Nope.
Oh, I got hit.
I'm throwing it too. I think Giants are going to do it.
You can't hit me.
Who's their quarterback? Who's going to play?
Who's quarterback?
The Giants.
What do you mean who's going to be their quarterback?
Who's going to be playing?
Are they going to play him the whole game?
Why are you giving me the stink
eye? I don't think he's getting the whole game. I think that they're giving like half game. I don't think they care.
I think they do care, and it's not just it's a fun story that they would like to put their division rival out and play spoiler, but practically, I looked it up earlier this week, or I should say Sammy O'Brien of Fantasy and Friends looked it up for me, and now I'm passing it off as my own info.
There we go.
Teams don't typically, and as you would think, you always hear that. Is it a cliche, or is there some merit to the thought that you don't limp into the playoffs and then make hay? Only the Baltimore Ravens in, I think, the last 25 years were as bad as something like 1-4 going into the postseason. The Giants want to go in. And they lost a game that they really should have won a week ago against Philly. They don't want to lose another one to the Skins and then go. And there's not much evidence that you overcome that and then regain the form to put you into the playoffs in the first place.
I don't know. I think that locked in the number five slot. I think they're already trying to figure out. You know, I think keeping it healthy. Are we getting JPP back? I wouldn't see we don't see JPP till the playoffs. Like, I think you're gonna see, and I just think they're gonna put Eli Manning in situations to succeed, and then maybe test out what they've – who is it again? You told
Josh
me.
Johnson.
Exactly.
He's making his annual appearance on a fifth team, I think, for something wild like that for the season. That's – I'm exaggerating.
Well, see, that's why these games are the hardest to call probably.
It's close enough.
Season. Right, right.
Let's move on then to the AFC West, a game that a lot of – by the way, pat myself on the back for this one. I got a lot of heat. The Broncos fans, when you win a Super Bowl, some people get a weird chip on their shoulder about the respect you don't give them. This is a big one for fan bases to respect. You don't like us. You hate our team. Why do you such a hater and all that jazz? I'm getting that from Cowboys fans right now because I don't pick them to win every single game that they play in the season. Still catching it from Broncos fans. They've fallen silent, though, because I said that they wouldn't make the postseason. I said the Chiefs and Raiders would. Damn, a Sheck is right.
Somebody get Sheck his tea.
That's right. You know what? That's right. I pat myself on the back. I'm not
spoons,
afraid to.
Just yeah. Stirring all the tea.
All right. Well, listen, that's exactly I feel I deserve
you should.
It.
You should.
Claybon.
Little tea. Time for little tea.
Hey, if the, by the way, side note, if the Steelers second team Landry Jones and so on defeat the sad Cleveland Browns this week. 5 years in a row that Damashek in August or early September correctly predicts what the Steelers' final
record. There's a lot on the line here for Pittsburgh.
That's right, Harmon. You make your jokes, but that's an impressive feat. You two, you and Freeland here with your fancy numbers. Damashek doesn't need all the advanced analytics. Damashek uses his heart and his gut, and they serve him
you
well.
You use your baby.
Yeah, it's going to say, you make use of your child.
You use your baby.
Where's my parade? Where's my parade? 5 years in a row, I've said that what the Steelers' record's going to be before the games kick off, and I get
and I'm right,
right
there with you, but Cynthia brings up a good point. You are exploiting your children.
Yeah. That's another matter.
Your heart, your gut, and your child. Those are your tools.
That's for
they're sentient beings.
The Department of Child Services and I will work that out on our own. You don't need to get involved in that.
I'm not questioning your ethics. I'm just giving you just credit to who deserves it.
You're right. Raiders, Broncos, Claybon, choose.
I'm choosing the Denver Broncos.
Oh, I thought I was gonna have to throw it, but I'm not going to. Freeland, you're going Bronx too.
Clean sweep.
I am.
So this means that we all think. I mean, I don't feel somehow that they're going to be like, nah, the Raiders still need to be the two seed. But so we're all agreeing then that the Chiefs are going to wind up
yes.
as the two seed.
Yeah,
huh?
Chiefs. That's why I was and loving
it's,
them.
It's awful for Oakland, great to say that, but it's just how it feels.
Ooh, I don't want to jump into it now, but. For some reason, because we saw Chiefs and Texans last year in the playoffs, Raiders with Matt McGloin against the Texans.
Matt McGloin. Tom Savage.
Matt McGloin, former Bill O'Brien quarterback at Penn State. Is it a revenge game or is it a conflict of interest game?
It's a revenge.
And that probably means that probably favors the Texans even more, which is why I think the Texans would win that game. I think that
that's a good call. I didn't even think about
it. Bill O'Brien will know. I mean, Matt McGloin obviously has a fairly low ceiling or else he would be an NFL starting quarterback. And I suspect that Bill O'Brien knows, like, here's what Matt McGloin wants to do. We just take that away from him.
Here, good defense. Go out there and be good. Again.
Actually do good.
That's not what I'm about. Shame on you, Claybon.
I mean, my only argument against that maybe is, like, if he knew what Matt McGloin's going to do, and because he remembers that far back from coaching him at Penn State, like, maybe he could have known what Brock Osweiler wanted to do, and maybe he could have coached him a little better this year. It was a little more proximal.
Here's
you know,
the-
like.
Here's the interesting scenario.
You know what I mean? Making an interesting point. Let's not. Why do we have to bring poor old B.O. in there?
No, because it's fun.
He's got his $72 million.
I was going to say we were going to talk about him without his contract, but then you got him.
Here's an interesting scenario.
You know
scenario.
What I think about him? He looks like, you remember Winnie Cooper? Mm-hmm. And then like the vampire from
sure.
Edward Cullen.
Thank you.
That's
he's their baby.
I love the I see to me it's amateurish at this point when people play like looks like
nope.
the looks like game.
What do you
when
mean?
You
Winnie
when elevated?
Edward.
No. I'm giving you credit.
Oh, thank you.
When you can do the blend, he's 60% this, he's 20% that. And that's elevating the game. If you can also cross genders with it and race, that's elevating the game. It's easy to say, really hey, the white guy with the beard level. Looks like the other white guy with the
nope.
beard. It's you offensive. Can do like it, imagine that guy shaved. Suddenly, he looks a lot like Laverne.
I shave. You know? I look like Jim Gaffigan. So,
oh, I can see that. All right. Are we dealing more with this one? We like the Broncos. It's just
I
Matt McGloin.
Good.
Like we said in our MVP conversation, if Matt McGloin struggles to make this offense go for Oakland, I think people are going to start getting real nervous about what the Raiders are or are not capable of doing in January. I picked the Chiefs, the Chargers. That should be a sad environment there in San Diego, especially they already did this whole bit a year ago.
Yeah.
This is our last game. Remember Eric Weddle laying out there on the bolt and Phil Rivers, I think, was choked up or whatever. But
yeah.
Now they're doing it again.
It could have just been his bolero. Good tie.
I want to do this. I want to go hardcore on this at a later date. But
yeah.
Word is that if the Chargers move to Los Angeles, they're considering leaving behind the Chargers name. Now, some people say that's an awful thing to do.
That is an awful thing to do.
No, it's not, Freeland. So. See, that's the wrong way. The one good thing Art Modell did when he ripped the Browns away from Cleveland was he left the brand behind so that they could restart. And now the Cleveland Browns. That history will forget that this is has nothing to do with the other, really. They're the Cleveland Browns. This would be the same thing. If you want to start up the San Diego Chargers in 5 or 20 years from now, you'll be able to.
It's a clean breakup, too.
Right.
It's a clean breakup.
It leaves that name there.
You unfriend them on Facebook.
Yeah. You're not still wearing their hoodie around that they left at your place.
Instead of picking this game, I think we all take the Chiefs in this one. They have something to play for here. What should, if they move to L.A., what should the Chargers be rebranded?
I don't think they should be rebranded.
All right, Freeland, open your brain.
I'm trying to think of.
All right, so I'm going to
go somewhere else.
I'm going to go to Harmon.
Me?
Harmon's great off the cuff.
I'm not great off the cuff. That's the
did a
opposite.
Lot of improv,
listen,
right?
My Bart Starr thing was really good. So
yeah,
I'm still
you're phoning it in for the rest of the show. I don't know. Go to Claybon.
What?
The
it's
Waves?
Not your jam.
It's not my jam.
Oh, the Waves.
That's purely off the cuff.
That would be if you ask people in the lame. Midwest to name. The LA team. That's what
the okay. So
surfers
from the Midwest.
The traffic.
Surfers?
Well, I think
the too expensive to have a high quality of life. I mean, what do you want to call it?
The
existential fear of
the
being
Los,
broke.
The Los Angeles congestions. It's very congested here.
No bad ideas aside from the Waves.
Median home price astronomical. I mean, what are we talking about?
How about the Los Angeles or the Los Angeles disinterested?
Adam Rank
suggests,
and this is this one goes back. To me, first of all, I think that the Angels blew it years ago. California is more inclusive, and if you're moving up and down the coast, the Raiders have been through it. The Rams are, we know that. Make it just California, or even go Golden State. I wonder if you're allowed to rip that from the Warriors. Be the Golden State whatevers, or California, or how about the Hollywoods? I've said this for the Clippers for years. They should rebrand themselves as the Hollywood Knights.
Los Angeles is way tougher than Hollywood.
Ryan Bartlett, our producer here, suggested the L.A. Fog or the L.A. Smog. And I think that's interesting. It's very catchy to say L.A. Fog, but – what are you going to put on? It looks like you put
also
like
is no
gas on the
who's
helmet.
Show me your lightning bolts, then.
Well, also, yeah,
just have to wait for them to get another team.
First of all, the Hollywood Knights spelled with K would be great, and now the Las Vegas hockey team has taken the Knights. What about the Hollywood Stars? Would be nice. Here's another one that I've thrown out before: the California Rhinos, because then you get the double whammy of rhinoplasty, which a lot of people in L.A. have had.
Those jobs.
Very good so far.
And they're the rhinos, and they're rugged beasts. That's what you want. If you could have a rhino play nose tackle, your team would be great. That reminds me of another conversation that we'll dig into in February or March, but we should revisit that. What beast would be best at football?
Mm,
what non-human beast that roams the big blue marble would dominate football? Don't answer that one.
Okay.
Save that for later.
Under wraps.
Right now, let's get to it. The main event of Week 17, pretty much the only one that really has great stakes for both sides playing in this game. The NFC North comes down to this one once again. Aaron Rodgers and a division rival, Green Bay Packers, in the Motor City against the Detroit Lions. Let's go to Detroit's own Cynthia Freeland. Jeez.
It's going to be so cold in the D, and Green Bay Packers going to win, and that means the Lions will miss the playoffs.
Miss entirely.
Yep, because I have Washington winning, which means Washington gets in. And as long as Green Bay.
Well, what are you talking about the cold? What does that matter?
Well, it's a song.
It's a metaphor.
It's a song.
Yeah.
It was an old song. Oh, T-Baby. So cold in the D. It was like, yeah. Anyways.
How old could it be if they called it So Cold in the D?
It's like a hip hop song from like a long time ago.
So I now am old enough. This is another nice moment. I'm so old that.
True.
It's referred, that's an old song, but you're just talking about a hip-hop song, and the person who's telling me that was chased by a T-shirted cat a matter of hours ago.
Yeah. I escaped the throes of a T-shirted cat.
What does this have to do with you being super old?
I don't know. I can
You've already forgotten. You're so old, you don't even know you're talking
I can hear the lampshade. Yeah, I don't know.
I can hear the lampshade.
Harmon. Packers, yeah. Lions, you're going to throw it? Mm-mm. You're taking the Packers?
Definitely.
Claybon?
Taking the Packers. But I do disagree about Washington, which we already established.
We did establish that. Mm-hmm. But, to me, it's not.
So close. You think the Lions back in?
Oh, necessarily they back in.
They lose.
They've earned it.
They get
they
in.
They slide.
It's all cumulative.
They slide in.
I'd like to say this on behalf of Lions fans out there. I feel like in a weird way, this is – I mean, I guess this is a good thing because – it means that Detroit isn't perceived by the rest of America to be a sad sports town because you've had the Pistons.
Excuse me. We have a very Red Wing-centric history of winning.
I know.
2004 was also a good year for hoops.
2009 was a great
year for the Wings.
And we've
been in a couple of World Series.
You almost
geographical
won
areas you don't remember, win or lose anything.
You remember in 2009, your Wings almost won the Stanley Cup. They came real close. They got,
you know who has a lot of Stanley Cups?
They got in
the Wings.
They got into Wings. Yeah, but do you remember when the Wings got to Game 7 and they almost won it? They lost by one.
That,
they only lost
that?
By one goal.
What year is
in
it?
In Game 7.
Yeah.
Listen.
What year was
I
tuned out?
I constantly make the argument to any professional athlete that the benefit of living in Michigan if you're a professional athlete, one, it's very cheap. So you get paid the same. Your pay gets based on like New York pay. So if you're playing for the Giants, it's expensive. You're playing for the Rams, it's expensive to live there. You're playing in Detroit, it's like dirt cheap. So you get to save a lot more money and you can focus.
That's also true for Sidney Crosby and Geno Malkin in the 2009 Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. They beat the Red Wings. That's what we were talking about. Okay.
Were we?
I was just trying to bring it.
I was watching
Claybon juggle.
How many
more Stanley Cups do the Red Wings have than the Penguins?
Oh, the Penguins have only been around since 67, and they have four. How about that, sis?
Can we fact check my Red Wings number, please?
They have more. They've been around
Nothing
for a long
touches.
Time. They used to play in an NHL
days.
That only had five other teams in it.
That one time when Frieza killed Krillin and Goku went – oh, I'm sorry.
God. I mean, that's a weird
thing. No. I'm not talking about talking. I'm not talking about nerd stuff. I'm cool, and I'm doing my own thing over here. Forget you guys.
I mean, of course, if you – I mean, you must have the Lions surely see this coming. But my point is with Lions fans is it's weird because – Browns and Jets and Jags and whatever have been through the ringer any number of times.
Listen, Vikings Cleveland too. Has nothing to talk about.
Vikings and everything else.
But the Lions. Out, the finger.
What's funny is until I knew, and we work with a bunch of Lions fans here, Detroit people here, including Freeland. And it's funny because at the turn of November into December, everybody said, oh, no, they're going to blow this. They may not win another game. And I said, why would you say such a thing? Because I've been through it. And Lions, for whatever reason, they
really
don't resonate for me as one of these bum teams. But they are. They're one of these ones that plays heartbreaker more often than not.
This is a real good story on that one. Our friend Marcus Grant was out with this was last season during that Thursday night game where the Lions were up on the Packers.
I don't even want to talk about it.
But earmuffs. They were up on the Packers, and he's out to dinner with a Lions fan. And while they're leaving, he's like, yeah, man, you got to be pretty excited.
Date?
No, it was a man friend.
Got it. I was just hoping it was a
situation.
Date, and he had to,
no dates. No dates.
Got
but
it.
So he's out with the guy, and he's you got to be pretty excited. He's like, they're going to blow it. Trust me, they'll blow it. And that's the first half. So Marcus goes home, and then Aaron Rodgers throws that Hail Mary, and his friend just texts him back a smiley face.
Told you. Listen, we're all so tortured.
Expecting misery.
Every Lions fan knows that one of the best things about Sunday means you get to eat a gyro at Ford Field because they have amazing food there.
They really do have great Greek food all around Ford Field.
Insane gyros.
That's the experience I had at Super Bowl 40, yep. And I experienced another Lombardi trophy. Well, that happened.
A picture with Jerome Bettis.
That was my fifth Lombardi.
I don't get added to Super Bowls.
It's been a good run for you, Dave.
Stanley Cups. Yeah, it's a lot.
Lovely.
Now listen.
Wonderful.
Very quickly, the reason I feel like, all due respect, the Lions are a fun story. It'd be a great moment if they got over the hump at home against the mighty Packers. I think for football fans, if you have no real rooting interest, I think you want the Packers to get to January. Because I Aaron Rodgers, here's what I predict happens here. Aaron Rodgers beats the Lions. Then he wins in the wild card. Then he goes to Dallas for the divisional round, and he knocks off the Cowboys. That's my prediction.
So I'm a little less like all Aaron Rodgers. But for me, the reason is in the past 5 weeks, no team has a better turnover differential than this team, which means they're better on defense. They're getting better on defense. Everyone except Sam Shields is back for the secondary, which is a big improvement and upgrade over what was going on before. And Aaron Rodgers hasn't turned the ball over despite not really having a running game. I mean, his running back, you know, obviously we know Ty Montgomery, 88. Oh, my God, a running back wearing 88. Done with that
story.
Well,
it is weird to look at that 88.
It is weird to look at, but we know it's there now. It's there. But the point is he's taking care of the ball, and their defense is showing up big. And you know who makes a lot of mistakes and turns the ball over a good deal? Roar. The Lions.
Roar.
They didn't make their fair share.
That's the sound that the cat made. Roar.
I think it was like a really big sign that cat chased me and I ran away from it.
Ooh. Yeah, you should have accepted the win. Like
the lampshade was the mane of the lion.
It. Yes. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's a cat and it was scary.
Right.
Something symbolic, your fear of the feline.
Yeah.
I don't know what it all means, but there has to be.
We're close.
Was the shirt it was wearing yellow by any chance?
It was gray.
It was gray.
Hey, behind the glass, Bartlett and Company, Lara, JD, the professor. Who's behind JD today? My angle is always cut off. Who is it?
The pirate.
The Pirates still back. I love the Pirate always brings a fun bit of mischief to the proceedings here.
Some booty, perhaps.
Claybon, Harmon, Freeland. Happy New Year to all of
happy
you,
New
and
Year.
Happy New Year to everyone listening and/or watching. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you on the other side of Week 17 and the turn of the new year. We'll get you all set for the playoffs. Until then, Happy New Year, and it's been a thin slice of heaven.